Okay.
Everybody, I'd like to declare this meeting open. This meeting is conducted with accordance of the Local Government Act 1993 and the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025. All councillors are reminded of their obligation to act in the best interest of the community and declare any interest that matters which are going to be discussed. We're all up and running on the live stream. Thank you. We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, the Palawa people of this land, Tasmania, and recognise their continuing connections to the land, skies and waters, and we pay respect to the elders past and present. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to advise you that today's council meeting is being live streamed and recorded. This means that members of the public who are unable to attend in person can still observe the proceedings. By remaining in this chamber, you are consenting to being filmed and recorded, so please be mindful of your actions and contributions as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for your cooperation. 26.1.1 is who we have present. Apologies. 26.1.2 is Deputy Mayor Christy Chappell, Councillor Barry Lefevre and Councillor Gary Barnes. We have no leave of absence. 26.1.4 is staff in attendance, which we have. And 26.2.0 is public question time. In accordance with Regulation 33-38 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, questions, whether they are for members of the public or councillors, must relate to the functions or activities of a council, must not be defamatory, offensive or disrupt the orderly conduct of a meeting. A question asked at a meeting is to be concise, be clear, not a statement and have minimal preamble. General statements are not permitted during question time. Members of the public and councillors may ask up to four questions per meeting, each person. The chairperson reserves the right to refuse a question in accordance with regulations. If a question is refused, the reason will be stated and recorded in the minutes. 26.2.1 is Parks and Wildlife closure of the beach access to the protection of the hooded plovers from Jeanette Saunders and Ruth Graham. The question is there and the answers have been supplied to the questions. 26.2.2 is Lot 6, subdivision of 70 Grant Street, Falmouth, DA2024. And that has been submitted and that has been answered and responded to in the agenda.
Any other questions?
So do we have any further questions for members of the public on either of the, or any items at all in public question time? So this is the opportunity, if anybody would like to ask any questions in particular, please don't be afraid to come up and sit at the seat, state your name and ask your question that you would like to ask. If not, we will just continue on with our meeting as per normal. Would you like to come forward, please, and take a seat? Take a seat at the table. And look, I would like to thank everybody for being here today too. It's very obvious that a lot of people have got a lot of concerns, so it's good to see people turn up. Thank you.
I wasn't aware that we had to ask a question.
You're more than welcome to ask a question if it's pertinent to anything that you would like to ask.
I'd like to know why the Parks and Wildlife are stopping our access to the back of our blocks in Perrin Street.
I could just please get you to just state your name.
Yep.
And your question, and we will take that on notice. We'll get your question, and we will give you a written response within 7 working days. So if you'd just like to ask your question for us, please. If you'd just like to reiterate, re-ask your question.
Why are the Parks and Wildlife closing access to the back entrances of the blocks on Perrin Street, where the fire break is?
Do you have any other questions?
We received a letter from the Parks and Wildlife and it said why they were closing the road, because it was effectively a specific operational and safety aspect, but we feel that it is an effectively and a specific operational and safety aspect for all the landowners that are backing onto the firebreak.
Thank you. We've got a pretty good handle on that. You've got that in writing for us, have you? If you wouldn't mind handing this to Linda so that we can respond to in kind, and you'll get a full response to the best of our ability when we're dealing with parks and wildlife on this issue, which is not council. And thank you very much for that. Do we have any further questions? Yeah. Step right up.
My name's Alan Graham, and I'd just like to know, with the problems that us residents are having, do we have council support? Because we're going to have to approach Parks and Wildlife, I assume. So I'd just like to know, do we have council support?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, certainly I can do that. And one of the questions that we received from Jeanette Saunders and Ruth Graham related to this, and will Council support our concerns regarding the proposed closure of this? So, and we've responded there that we've taken it up with Parks and Wildlife. So, yes, you do have Council support with this. We're advocating and working on your behalf for this.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Not a problem at all. Any other questions from members of the public? Thank you. We're going to move to 26.3.0. It's councillors' questions on notice, which we have nil. 26.4.0 is questions, councillors' questions without notice. Do we have any questions from councillors? We have no questions from our councillors without notice. I'm going to go to 26.5.0, which is a declaration of interest of a councillor or a close associate. Do we have any? Councillor Whittaker?
We do. I have a non-procurenary conflict of interest, 26.17.2, St Helens Online Access Centre funding.
Please. Thank you. If you could just pass that on to Linda so that'll be confirmed in the minutes.
Thank you.
We have any further declaration of interest or conflicts of a close associate? We have none. 26.6.1 is the confirmation of minutes of the council meeting held on the 15th of June 2026. Can I have somebody move the minutes be confirmed? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Oldham. Do we have any comments on those minutes? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.7.0 is the council workshop held since the 15th of June. For your information. And 26.8.0 is the planning authority. And pursuant to Regulations 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, the Mayor is to inform the Council as now acting as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Can I have somebody move that we go into planning? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Wright. All in favour? Carried unanimous, we are now acting as a planning authority. And 26.8.1 is DA 134, 70 Grand Street, Falmouth subdivision. Alex, would you like to walk us through this development application, please?
Certainly.
You just have to speak up a little bit, please.
Yeah, certainly. So to begin with, this application is seeking approval for a 6-lot subdivision on a 0.3 hectare site. As seen within the proposal plan, lot 5 will accommodate the existing dwelling and garage that currently services the residents, while lot 6 will retain an existing shed. The remaining lots will be vacant. Notably, there are several proposed works as identified within the flood study report prepared by PDA surveyors, engineers and planners, which will form part of the application, and include fill for lots 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6, new crossovers and raised driveway access for all lots with pipe culverts at the road. The new crossovers and raised driveway access for lots 1 and 2 will require some vegetation removal, but it is worth noting that this application did not require assessment against the C7 Natural Assets Code, as the site was not subject to the priority vegetation area overlay. Provision of a catch drainage swale along the eastern boundary of Lot 6, grading of the lower portions of Lots 1, 2, 5 and 6, existing pond on Lot 1 to be infilled, and area to be graded to 3.4 metre AHD, addition of new pipe culvert in Frank Street to convey water to an open drain and then into Devil's Creek. Notably, this application had 9 performance criteria. So there was clauses from the low-density residential zone, so 10.6.1 lot design, 10.6.3 services. And from the Parking and Sustainable Transport Code, we had C2.6.1 construction of parking areas, C2.6.3 number of accesses for vehicles. From the Road and Railway Assets Code, we had C3.5.1 traffic generation at vehicle crossing, level crossing or new junction. And from the flood-prone hazard areas code, we had building C12.6.1, building and works within a flood-prone hazard area, and C12.7.1, subdivision within a flood-prone hazard area. So during the advertising period for this application, there were 3 representations received, and I will proceed with the representations in order. So representation 1, initial concern, so they acknowledged the substantial amount of technical work provided to support the proposal in relation to flooding, stormwater and on-site wastewater. So just that commentary is noted on that particular remark. Second item is they were concerned that the flood modelling contained within the flood study report remains predictive rather than empirically validated, and it is unclear to the extent that future sea level rise, downstream tailwater effects, tidal locking and compound coastal flooding interactions have been considered given the site's characteristic. So just in response to that, as defined within that C12.3 definition of terms, the applicant has provided a flood study report to address the relevant performance criteria of the flood code. Notably, the predominant intent of the report is to demonstrate that a tolerable risk can be achieved and maintained for the proposed lots within the identified catchment area regarding the use of current data and detailed modelling. The third item, while the proposal appears capable of managing current and modelled future flood risk, there is a question of whether ongoing intensification of low-lying coastal settlements should continue to rely on engineering mitigation in areas likely to experience growing climate uncertainty. So just in response to that, assessment of this application is limited to the relevant zone and code provisions contained within the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. Within the context of this application, it is a requirement that the subdivision is able to both achieve and maintain a tolerable risk. The fourth item recognises that there is a strong counter-argument that exists as land similar to surrounding properties is subject to the low-density residential zone and the proposal is consistent with the settlement form contemplated by the planning scheme. Noted that refusing development on the site may therefore appear inconsistent with historical planning decisions and existing landowner expectations. So just in response to that, commentary is noted, and it is worth highlighting the purpose of the low-density residential zone, including the objective of 10.6.1 lot design, as outlined below. So 10.1.1, to provide for residential use and development in residential areas where there are infrastructure or environmental constraints that limit the density, location or form of development. And 10.6.1 lot design, objective is that each lot has an area and dimensions appropriate for use and development in the zone, is provided with appropriate access to a road and contains areas which are suitable for residential development. The fifth item suggests that climate change adaptation requires planning systems to look beyond consistency with past development patterns and consider long-term impacts. noting that incremental subdivision within coastal flood-prone areas may appear manageable individually, but do not consider future infrastructure burdens, increasing drainage dependence, reduce adaptive flexibility, and increasing public and private adaptation costs. Just in response to that item, the commentary has been noted, but again, assessment of this application will be limited to the relevant zoning code provisions of the scheme. The final item, they request council, in addition to considering whether the subdivision can comply with the Tasmanian's planning scheme, but also the broader strategic transition regarding future zoning and intensification of low-lying coastal land. The representative proceeded to provide further recommendations and commentary on a suggested approach. And just in response to that, my response as per above remains applicable. Representation two, first item, advise that they do not object to reasonable residential development, but they are of the opinion that the submitted flood assessment does not adequately demonstrate that the subdivision can achieve and maintain a tolerable risk regarding the flood code. In response to that item, the commentary is noted, but please refer to the planning officer's assessment completed for performance criteria P1.1 and P1.2 for clause C12.6. Development standards for buildings and works, in addition to performance criteria P1 of clause C12.7.1, subdivision within flood-prone hazard area. Further to the above, it is important to note that there was a recent TASCAT decision, Hookway versus Northern Midlands Council, that provided considerable guidance on determining whether a proposed subdivision is able to achieve and maintain a tolerable risk. Within the context of assessing tolerable risk, the tribunal outlined that the following definition, derived from a previous decision, AU versus Glenorchy City Council. So in assessing whether a risk is tolerable, we must consider the benefits of the development in the relevant area and the measures that can be put in place to manage the risk from the hazard. Assessing tolerable risk is not a purely quantitative or binary exercise, nor does it involve replication of the handbook's H1 through to H6 risk categorisation. With reference to the completed planning scheme assessment, and the inclusion of the conditions recommended by council's external consultant, there is a reasonable basis to claim that a tolerable risk can be achieved and maintained for each of the proposed lots. The second item raised by the representor was that they were concerned that the flood solution appears to rely on future detailed design rather than fully resolved subdivision design regarding the proposed subdivision works forming part of the application. Further noting an inconsistency in the submitted flood report regarding the size of the proposed outfall pipe, as the report refers to a new DN450 outfall pipe and a new DN600 outfall pipe. Report acknowledges that flood depths will increase in the Frank Street table drain and in the new open drain downstream of the proposed outfall, and concludes that this is regarded as tolerable. The representative does not consider this conclusion adequately demonstrated. In response to that, while it is acknowledged the proposed works, which intend to form part of this application, will require further detailed design, the provision of engineering documentation and specification must be provided and endorsed by council prior to the commencement of any work. Please refer to the entirety of Condition 3 above, which has been recommended for inclusion by council's external consultant. The third item, the report confirms that the proposal will increase reliance on council's maintained stormwater assets, and the representative deems this as a significant issue under C12.7.1 performance criteria P1, and the flood hazard outcome appears to rely on very shallow residual depths on proposed building platforms. They are concerned that the roof drainage and drainage around future houses has not been properly modelled, and that the report identifies remaining H2 hazard on lots 1 and 2. The representative was concerned that this does not fully consider how the lots may be used. Just in response to that, my response to that would be reference to my completed assessment against the relevant performance criteria. The fourth item, acknowledges that the report identifies that Falmouth Road is overtopped in both pre- and post-development conditions. While the subdivision does not worsen that road flooding, the creation of additional residential lots increases the number of future residents potentially affected by this access constraint. And again, the commentary is noted, but please refer to the planning officer's completed assessment for the performance criteria being assessed against as part of this application. The last item is a concern that the planning submission appears to describe the application as a subdivision that does not propose building or works, while the flood report relies on physical flood mitigation works to make the lots acceptable. The representor asserts that these works should be assessed as part of the application rather than deferred. Just in response to that, the proposed works outlined within the submitted flood study report do form part of this application and are required to be completed prior to the sealing of the final plan. These proposed works require additional design detail and must be certified by a suitably qualified engineer. As evident within the conditions, the proposed works will not commence until such time that engineering documentation has been endorsed by Council, noting that there are numerous requirements to be imposed upon the proposed works. The remaining representations, so representation three, the first item concerned about the potential impact to the character of the Falmouth locality. Similar to representation one, the commentary is noted and is worth highlighting the purpose of the low-density residential zone and the relevant clause in 10.6.1 lot design. The second item outlines a number of concerns regarding public open space contribution and, in particular, the request for cash in lieu of the provision of public open space. Specific questions further included: does this proposal mean the developer's access to the potential cash payment would be less than the value of the loss imposed by the provision of public open space? Does this proposal mean the developers have little interest in providing any benefit to the community that would result from the provision of open public space? Is the proposed cash payment intended to offset the cost for council to install new drainage infrastructure, the proposed new outfall pipe and open drain? With reference to council's public open space contributions policy, I've made reference in my report. It is important to note that the subject site is located less than 300 metres to the recreation sports ground adjoining 91 Grant Street, which currently services community. Please note that the developer will be responsible for the cost and undertaking of the proposed works. The third item is outlines that they observe that the written planning submission from the applicant does not reference the infilling of the pond currently existing on the subject site and notes inconsistencies between submitted reports. All works proposed as part of the subdivision are defined within the advertised flood study report. It is important to note that the previous senior planning officer conducted a site inspection on the 27th of September during 2024 and noticed that there was fill on the site. An email was sent to the applicant on the 30th of September, which emphasised that no works are to commence prior to the issuing of a planning permit. The applicant responded on the same day, advising that the owners were aware. The fourth item, they're concerned that the presence of endangered species, namely the green and gold frog, and potential habitat for these species has not been considered. Reference is made to a previous subdivision application located directly south of the subject site in relation to DA 466 of 2004, which included the following condition. So this is condition 12 from that previous application. Prior to sealing the final plan of survey, the developer is to submit to council evidence that the threatened species unit has been consulted and that the unit agrees to the area being disturbed by future development in regard to disturbing the green and gold frog habitat that may exist on the development site. In response to this item, it is important to note that the existing pond is not natural to the subject site and was installed by a previous owner. This application did not require assessment against the C7 Natural Assets Code, as the property was not subject to a priority vegetation area overlay. Notably, review of the available overlays on the Land Information System Tasmania website did not illustrate the observed presence of threatened flora or fauna species on the subject site. In relation to the reference subdivision, which was previously approved under DA 466 of 2004, there was no record on file to indicate that the presence of the green and gold frog was identified to be present. And as outlined within, the representor has not provided evidence to substantiate the presence of the identified species, but in the unlikely event that the habitat of the green and gold frog is identified on the subject site, the developer will be subject to the requirements and processes contained within the Threatened Species Protection Act 1995 and Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act 1999. The next item, the representor suggests consideration of landscaping to be undertaken. Just in response to that item, the commentary is noted, but please refer to the assessment against the relevant performance criteria. The next item, the representor outlined that there was a number of issues that will need to be addressed pertaining to stormwater management, wastewater, filling works and building pads. The representor queries whether proposed lots 1 and 2 should be developed. In response to that item, the commentary is noted. Please refer to the relevant assessment addressing the performance criteria. Further noting that the reports provided by the consultants identified within this council report have been able to demonstrate that each of the proposed lots can be developed upon for future residential use and development. The next item, the representor was concerned about the existing stormwater arrangement and the proposed stormwater management for the subdivision. And similarly, in response, please refer to the completed assessment addressing the stormwater requirements. The next item notes the concerns raised by council as evidence in the submitted flood study report. Those particular concerns were in relation to a request for further information that was issued to the applicant, but these particular items have been addressed within the latest version of the flood study report, as demonstrated in the MI completed assessment. The next item, the representor was confused about the intended size of the proposed outfall pipe, as there is reference to DN450 and DN600. In response, the size of the proposed outfall pipe will be DN600. The next item, the representor noted an inconsistency within the submitted planning submission in relation to the frontages of the proposed lots. And just in response to that, as evident within the advertised plans and documentation, there have been numerous requests for further information. The advertised proposal plan is reflective of the intended crossover location for each lot. The next item raised by the representor included a query whether the site is cleared of standing vegetation, as noted within the written planning submission, which proceeds to then note that there is an existing row of pine trees. The representor also queries whether the existing row of pine trees have any status for protection, further citing township character. In response to that item, as corrected within the applicant's written planning submission, there is an existing row of pine trees, but these trees have not been identified as significant trees, as evident upon review of the significant trees table contained within the Breakaday local provision schedule. While these trees are not a declared weed within Tasmania, it is important to note that these species are an environmental weed. The next item raised by the representor, they outline that documents referenced within the applicant's written planning submission were not included as part of the advertised documents. Just in response to that item, the documents that would be necessary for potential approval of the application were advertised accordingly. And the final item raised by the representor, they included a suggested subdivision layout, which included public open space. It was an illustration at the end of their submission. And just in response to that, the proposal is noted, but in this instance not relevant for assessment of the relevant zoning code provisions. In consideration of the completed assessment and the concerns raised by the representations, my recommendation is for approval, subject to the conditions outlined within.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Alex. That was a very in-depth analysis of this development application, to say the least. Can I have somebody please move the DA for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Oldham, it's been seconded by Councillor Carter. Councillor Oldham, would you like to speak to this development application?
Yes. On hearing all the information, I don't see any issues with this development. It has been noted that there's flood issues. We get floods everywhere, depending on the amount of rainfall. It is interesting the fact that people don't want ribbon development, but I believe we can confine it to established settlements. It's a better way. And the Golden Frog might have to find another pond.
Thank you, Vaughan. Councillor Oldham. Councillor Carter, would you like to speak to this?
Very, very thorough effort on behalf of the officer and particularly the proponent. I do also acknowledge the concerns and opinions of the appellants, but in supporting this, I believe the subdivision should go ahead, but the likely concerns that have been raised today will occur in future efforts to develop the place. So that doesn't suggest that we shouldn't support this application today.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. Anyone who would like to speak against this development application?
Can I just make a comment here?
I would like, you can ask a question, but anyone who'd like to speak against?
I need to make a statement.
Okay.
Thank you for your indulgence. I just want to say that regarding a declaration of conflict of interest, I have been informed by the General Manager that a ratepayer of Breaker Day has raised that they believe I have a conflict of interest in regards to this development application. This was also, all other councillors were informed of this as per his responsibilities. After seeking advice and guidance from the General Manager and after close scrutiny of the relevant sections of the Act, those being Section 49 and 51 of the Act, I am comfortable that I don't have a conflict of interest, and I'd like to state that. Section 49, having an interest in, that is a pecuniary benefit or pecuniary detriment, which I have neither. Section 51, a close associate, and I don't have a conflict of interest in here either. As such, I declare confidently I have no conflict of interest in the development application we are now discussing today as a planning authority.
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Johnson. So we'll start now. Is there anyone who would like to speak against the development application? Councillor Wright.
I do still have some serious concerns about the water inundation and the flooding. I know that we've addressed it on many levels, but just thinking back to other previous discussions that we had earlier regarding actively mobile landforms and tolerable risk and all that type of thing, and the issues that seem to be raised with areas like June Street from water inundation. We've got rising sea levels, obviously something that's going to continue to happen. It does concern me that if we are allowing development in areas that are already known to be a probable flood risk, then we're kind of, I don't know, are we putting ourselves in a situation where we could be...
Councillor Wright, we don't want to know, obviously, your concerns about everything in the planning scheme. I'm asking, are you for or against the development application? And if you're against the application, what is the reason that you're against?
That's what I'm trying to get to. Yes, and my concerns for being against it are about the flood inundation, largely about the water and stormwater, all that in one basket, I guess.
Well, anyone who'd like to speak for the development application? Anyone? Councillor Carter?
Can I ask a question?
You certainly may.
Alex, would you be able to explain figure 9, which is like an outline of the plan, and it has a significant proposed new outfall there, which is indicated to go significantly down towards the creek. Is that intended to be a pipe as designated in this documentation, DN600, and it goes all the way as indicated on this plan, or is there a variation possibility there?
So the outfall pipe will be, the stormwater will be directed into a new open drain, which then discharges into Devil's Creek.
So my question is in relation to the indication on this map, that purple line, that is indicating the pipe, and it's going to go the entirety as indicated on that plan?
Yep, so the pipe will go to that extent, and that's where that dark green line is, that's the open.
Okay. So the reason I asked that question is I did read somewhere where there might be a possibility of a swale being used, and I was just concerned that the depth of the ground required to achieve that would be not very pleasant. So thank you for that clarification.
Have we got anybody else that would like to speak against? Councillor Whittaker and then Councillor Johnson.
Sorry, just questions, please.
A question?
I just have some questions, if that's okay. Further to what Councillor Carter has said, I know that they have to seek permission from Parks and Wildlife for the stormwater to be emptied into Devil's Creek. I'm wondering, though, would that not be a first step? Because why would you go through this whole process if they're not going to receive permission to actually do that?
Councillor Whittaker, we don't act on behalf of Parks and Wildlife. We can only act on the development application that's here. Alex, can you respond to that in any way?
It feels like that should be your first step, if you know what I mean.
Well, off the top of my head, I don't have an answer at the moment, but a lot of this came about through back and forth between, obviously, ourselves, our Works Department and our external consultants. How we discharge stormwater currently in Falmouth, obviously, is into Devil's Creek, and the proposal seeks to do the same as what council currently does in the area.
I'll let John, the general manager, if you'd like to make any comment, please.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And yes, good question, Councillor Whittaker. But this is sort of the process. Yes, it might seem like they should obtain permission first, but this wasn't actually something that needs a referral done. And also, sometimes they do need consent for use of Crown Land, but in this situation, it's conditioned. So then if they can't obtain approval, then that's the end of it, effectively. So, but it's just a process to go through. So it's a procedural thing more than anything there as well. So
that makes sense.
Not unusual in this case.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, so there's evidence of no threatened green and gold frog at the site. So is that 100% confirmed?
Not to my knowledge, no. I couldn't find any evidence on the file for that subdivision that was referenced in that representation. There was no confirmation that there was threatened species present. And in relation to the actual site for this application, it wasn't raised as an item of concern as I could see. Obviously, I've only taken carriage of this application towards the latter end, but nothing on the file indicated that the senior planner had concerns with any threatened veg or fauna.
Councillor Johnson, do you against this?
I'd like to thank the proponent and the council officers for all the work they've done in this, because it is an extraordinary amount of work. So I want to acknowledge that. I am speaking against it, and I need to be, because of people saying I have a pecuniary interest in this, I just need to say I've been consistent through my nearly 4 years on council and on the planning authority, which we are sitting as at the moment, with my concerns about wastewater and stormwater management. And also about where there is flood risk and where it is clear that we are in a flood zone. I have been consistent, and my record is very clear. I've also been consistent about erosion caused and
ecological
damage.
I'm sorry, Councillor Johnson, you are against this. I need to know the reason. I don't want to know about your 4 years of record.
Yes, I need to.
I'm sorry. We need to get to the answer.
Yep.
Why are you against this, not your statement? This is not a statement.
It's not statements.
I'm sorry,
it
is.
Make it. clear.
I'm sorry, you're making a statement. I want to know, why are you against this?
For those reasons. Because it isn't, there is flood risk for the wastewater and storm water on each of the individual lots, how they impact each other. I would like to see open space, not cash. And I also note that the representations, and I'd like to thank the council for responding to the questions of the representations, and I think that have been, those representations are very clear, and they are actually from engineers, so there's they're quite important. And you've just stated that you won't allow me to go further with that, but I think at the end of those representations one and two, while it's not for the planning authority, but what is in one and two, and I would like the councillors to look at that, and I would like it that actually all the people here could see that as well. They are issues to do with that council should be addressing around flooding, flood zones, and also about stormwater management and also about wastewater management. They are important for areas such as ours.
This is generic. We're listening into this development application.
Yes.
And we are, as a council, concerned about wastewater and stormwater all of Breaker Day.
Yep.
We don't need to reiterate that.
Well, my reasons are very clear. It's around those issues. And I would also note that if we could get open space at the front section of the Grant Street section of the proposal, that would potentially, for me, see that there could be... It's because of the zoning, where the zoning is, as far as where the flood is, potentially if that front section was open space and could be looked as an ecological area and an area where it could mitigate flooding, that would make this proposal for me much more easy to support.
Any further commentary, please, on this proposal? If there's not, for or against, I'm going to go to Councillor Oldham, who moved this, for final wrap-up. Have you got any further commentary on this?
Yeah, I'm satisfied that all the arguments have been met, and I'm happy for it to go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Against? This is not lost. This means no decision has been made. So, John, if I can get you now to go through the process, because this has put council in a position now. No decision has been made.
So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, council officers have provided professional advice there. So, when there's been no decision made, failed to determine application, then you seek whether there are any other motions to either refuse the application. If there is a refusal of the application, then the planning grounds need to be clearly identified, or an alternative motion to approve the application with different conditions there as well. So those are council's pathway at the moment. If they fail to do any of those, then section 59 of LUPA will come into play.
Okay, so that's where we are. So now, if we have a mover to move a motion with a amended set of conditions, which has got to be valid, or have we got a mover of a motion to refuse based on qualified advice that could be substantiated if this goes further?
And the grounds.
And the grounds for the offer of refusal. Councillor Carter.
I don't have the capacity to formulate that motion in my head, but it's quite clear that we all have concerns about flood mitigation, all of the things that Councillor Johnson and others articulated very clearly. The appellants made a very clear case as well. But I don't think that should penalise the individual current application. So I guess what I'm saying here is, if we can work out a way that I believe this application deserves to go through, so if we can work out a way that we seriously consider some of the implications of what we're doing in our community into the future, it might appease some of the concerns that other councillors have.
The only other alternative, Mr. Mayor, is if to try and resolve some of the concerns, not saying it would be for council to receive a extension of time to consider to further try and resolve some of those things and bring it back to a future meeting of the council.
That's if the proponent would.
But that requires the applicant to provide that in writing to provide that extension of time. Alex, how close to time are we with this from memory?
I think from the top of my head, I believe there's 7 days left on this application. So if needed, I can request for an additional extension.
I would think it would be very pertinent to get you to request if the proponent would be kind enough to give us an extension to bring this back to another workshop. Presentation.
Back to the council meeting.
To a council meeting, sorry, I said workshop, I meant council meeting. For a decision, we'd be looking for another month's extension to the next council meeting. Otherwise, it'll come back to Luca 59.
So, Mr. Mayor, we can just adjourn this item and see where it is. After Alex has made that inquiry.
No worries, thank you. Whilst these things do happen, it's not nice to have this sort of thing happen. The Mayor is to advise the Council has now concluded its meetings of planning authority under Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2025. Can I have somebody move that we go out of planning? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Oldham, all in favour? Carried unanimous. We are now out of planning and we will commence with the rest of our normal agenda. 26.9.1 is outstanding matters. John, would you want to go through this or just take questions?
Anyone has got
any questions?
Take questions.
Any questions on outstanding matters? Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Any questions on outstanding matters? We have none.
Just give me a minute, Mayor, please. I think I have got one, but I need to get to it. No, that's all right. Thank you. Sorry, just trying to find the page. Is there any chance we can get an update on the pontoon in terms of there is funding available from MAST? Is that project likely to proceed in the next financial year?
Three, Mr. Mayor, I can't answer it off the top of my head. That one.
Second question, in terms of the old hospital grounds, is there any state government response in terms of progressing that?
Through Mr. Mayor, no. It's sitting with Homes, TAS and state government, along with a couple of other properties. Nothing. We keep asking questions and you think they deal with it, but they don't.
Appreciate it. And the final one, in terms of, I guess the same answer is going to be here in terms of the Parks and St. Paddy's Heads renaming. We've been on that one for quite a number of months as well.
Been with the Parks for quite a while, and obviously, requires them to action that. They do have their protocols for renaming or naming conventions as well. So we've indicated our support for provision of signage, but rest with Parks.
Councillor Wright.
Just on the online access centre, I just wanted to make a commentary on basically I've been contacted by them and they were sort of concerned that it had come across that they were critical of how the library does things where they're not exactly.
I don't know whether we should be discussing this just
here. 17.2.
Yeah, okay, but it was just from the letter from Joe Palmer, sort of that impression was given. Okay, we'll talk about it in the... Yeah, all right.
Well, that's where I am. Yeah. So we're still outstanding. So we'll get to that one, Councillor Wright, at the appropriate time. 26.10.0 is petitions, which we have nil. 26.11.0 is notice of motion. John, do you want to make any commentary with that? Are going to do anything with that? That'll be coming up through the LGAT conference. We'll be looking at a note of a motion.
Yep.
26.12.1 is the Mayor's communications for period ending 20th of July. For your information, and has anybody got any questions on that? Councillor Carter?
I'm just wondering if you're able to provide any commentary around the meeting with Senator Dunningham in terms of the progression of that...
Yes, we certainly can. With Deputy Mayor Christy Chappell and the General Manager and myself, we met Senator Dunningham when we was in Canberra at the NGA, and we had a very long discussion, which was really good, regarding potential future funding to finalise and finish that Georges Bay walking track. And whilst we know that the Senator is leaving before Christmas, we're still really important to catch up with the Senator, being our Tasmanian Senator, regarding issues in Breaker Day. And so we spoke about what that actually means to our community, what we saw with the bushfire, where it would have, if that track was around there, we could have had another access for vehicles to get round and pick up people. All of the sort of things from soil erosion for landslip, water erosion coming across the bay, and what that abatement, what that'll do to abate the wind erosion that's on the landslip. So we worked really hard with the Senator, which we've been very fortunate. At two federal elections, we've had the Liberal Party has funded through commitments, if they get elected, the completion of that walking track. And it was trying to just keep up our presence when we was in Canberra, even though we know that one is going out, there'll be a new one coming in. We need to keep our face-to-face with everybody who's in Canberra that can help us in Breaker Day, and that's what that meeting was for, just to keep reinforcing what we need, what's really important to our community. We talked about some Mary's Pass. We talked about all of those different things. But everything that we talk about with the Senator will go forward through the system to the next person, no different than when I couldn't make it because I was on stage talking around the grounds at the conference, but Christy Chappell, our Deputy Mayor, and John met up with Rebecca White, our local MP in Lyons, and once again reiterated and go through all of our concerns. And then, of course, I was lucky enough to be able to catch up with Rebecca that night at another networking function. So it's just about reiterating our networking, continually being there, waving the flag of what's important to our community, and trying to make sure that we have the heads up if there's any funding coming available that we can apply for. Councillor Wright?
Just on that, now that we've changed over to Bass instead of Lyons, I didn't realise we'd had that discussion because I was away because my mother was dying. Will that change anything?
It changes a lot of things, Councillor Wright, because we no longer have those members. We'll be dealing with new members.
So are we going to have to start this process again, dealing with new members?
And our General Manager's already started that process last week, which was very fortuitous that he was in Hobart and then Launceston and happened to catch up with Jess Teasdale. But John, would you like to elaborate a little bit?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, in some ways it does, but Senate makes no difference. It's just our local Rebecca White versus Jess Teasdale at the federal level, and then obviously our other local members.
Ferguson and...
Yep, we'll be inviting them to visit for briefings and to get them up to date. But generally these things feed into a larger party machine, so it's really the conduit is changing. It still goes to the same process as well. So
Still on the same thing with your meetings. You may not be able to say anything about mainly maritime, but I find they are quite interesting conversations. Is that vital little gem that sits in St Helens progressing along okay? The Jean Rosevere's meeting with the mainly maritime, the business. Doesn't matter if you can't make any commentary, I just saw it interesting.
I was on the wrong page.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Yeah, look, yes, they just had a couple of queries, but it's an opportunity for another little visit to there, and I have to say it's an extraordinary museum. There it is. And if you haven't been there for a couple of years, well worth going again. But yeah, it's a real gem and so much passion in this as well. So, had a great conversation with Brian and June when we were there as well. So, yeah.
And I apologise, yes, Ricardo, because I was thinking you were talking about when I was in Canberra and I'm trying to find it on the agenda here.
Yeah, no, it's a bit more local than that.
Should have talked so much more.
But yeah, please, everybody who gets the opportunity should go through that museum. It's unbelievable.
And any visitors looking for something to do for a few hours minimum, just on a rainy day, point them in that direction as well. Yeah.
Okay, 26.12.2 is councillors' reports for the period ending Brega Day tourism. Unfortunately, we don't have councillor deputy mayor Chappell here. NRM special committee, Liz Johnson, councillor Johnson.
Mayor, as you know, I've been away with my mother dying, and I did note that there is a NRM report here, so excuse me, but I missed that area.
Councillor Fever's not here for tourism.
On Councillor Fever's mental health, can I make a comment?
You certainly may.
Thank you. On Friday, there was what was called a wellness and creativity program at Fingal Valley Neighbourhood House, but it was actually around the mental health services available, and there were over 20 participants in terms of providing information at that workshop, and I'm reported here that over 150 people attended that function at Fingal, including Renee, who's now working in a community space. So a very successful day on Friday. I did attend. It was quite a joyous place. You would have enjoyed it, Mayor, because you would have been able to dress up in your colourful outfits. And
unfortunately, I was away and I couldn't attend.
But it was a great event, and I think it was significant in the sense of how much it was supporting mental health. So that's why I raised it today, and I'm happy to provide that document, that report from
that would be very much appreciated. Thank you. Access and Advisory Committee, Councillor Wright.
We haven't had a meeting.
No worries. BioFires Master Plan, Councillor Carter.
Would you be surprised to hear there's been no meeting there?
That is something that is very surprising. Thank you. And St Mary's Exhibition Building, Councillor
Johnson. I know that there's staff here together with the volunteers, the volunteer project manager, have been continuing to do work with the proposed designer and builders. So work is going on.
No worries. 26.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Raoul.
Oh, sorry, Ange.
How are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
Ange, would you like to go through the report for us, please?
I haven't really got too much to say. We've covered it in the report. Obviously, under the finance area,
it's been a hectic sort of last month and still going, sort of finalising last financial year and rolling into the new one, as well as audit requests have already started flowing through, so they're never ending. The rates notices have gone out last week, hit the email the week before, but letterboxes last week. That has created quite a lot of traffic through the door and over the phones, but no, nothing out of the ordinary as far as queries. There are some regarding people's revaluations, but obviously they're being redirected to the Valuer General's office to query and object if they see wish. That front rates are already rolling through and pension remissions and things like that as well. I can't make any comment on the asset management stuff, so if John wants to add anything there, he can. Audit I've touched on. Our ICT transition is hopefully in its final stages now. We're looking at transitioning to our new provider within the next fortnight. Obviously still working with Peak in the background on some things, but our go-to place will be the new provider within a couple of weeks. So, but I'll give firm details once that's all finalised, definitely. Investments, yep, they're just carrying through as they have been. And I don't think I've got anything else to add, if anyone's got any questions.
Anything you'd like to add on behalf of RAL?
Just in relation to the asset management, Mr. Mayor. So Council had that presentation on asset management as part of the budget process. So since that point in time, we've just strengthened the draft strategic asset management plan around sort of that asset consideration around, like, do we have the right assets doing the right things, and that piece of it there as well. So just strengthen that in there. So it should be through to Council, I think might be coming in the August workshop Council meeting. But, yeah, it's a good document, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions on the report? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.13.2 is the monthly financial report. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll deal with this one. So obviously we're at the end of the financial year, and all things happen in the financial year. So the reports that are provided there are drafts. So as part of the year-end piece, there's a number of accounting processes which happen, which will make changes to the figures you just see sitting there. So things like there's some accruals need to go through, there's some asset recognition things and depreciation refinements and other bits and pieces have to happen at this time of the year. So in terms of what's there, our preliminary operating result looks quite strong at about $1.2 million surplus, which is a fair bit more than the projected deficit of $161,000. So when you drill down into it a bit there, our operating expenditure was approximately $493,000 under budget. But when you look at the revenue, you'll see there are a few bits and pieces in there which have impacted. So I'll draw your attention to the narrative that's there. So user fees are up quite substantially on projections. Well, and they're always really hard to estimate what user fees might be during a year, but certainly the building activity being higher, that's driven more fees through the building surveying services that we provide. Just ignore the operating grants element, because that's just paid in advance, and we never quite know what the feds are going to do in terms of are they going to give us 50% in advance, 75% in advance, 80% in advance, or none in advance. Then other revenue is up a fair bit too. Now Council reformed the Aurora overcharge that we had, so that comes back through as revenue, so that was $50,000. Interest received is an investment income that's also up about $50,000 or $60,000 as well. So there's a lot of things that add up. There's no one single thing, but on the whole, these things have all added up in a positive sense for our thing. So, and obviously, depreciation's quite a bit higher than budget, and that was really due to the building revaluation, which has come through as well, which we talked about in the budget workshop. So on the whole, Mr. Mayor, it looks like we'll have a surplus for the year. What that figure is, I'm not quite sure what it looks like there as well, but obviously some of the reduction in the materials piece too relates to some of the projects. No, it's actually projects that haven't quite progressed as far as we might have anticipated. So, say, let's think, the livability strategy is one. We've budgeted for all of expenditure this year, haven't had that. Some of the other consultants is a similar thing, where there's some carry forward to the next year which haven't, and they sit within the operating part of the budget, not within the capital works and projects piece. So from the accounting perspective, they sit here, and that's why it's sort of, it's a bit messy at this time of the year with that stuff there as well, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the report we received? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any questions, please, to the report?
And I'll endeavour to answer them.
Thanks, John, for your explanations.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson.
I'm Brian. Good, thank you.
Thank you. If we have no questions, then I'm going to just go straight to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.14.1.
I'll stop for coffee, Mr. Mayor.
Do you want to stop for coffee? All right. Our general manager needs some caffeine. So we'll stop for a 10-minute coffee break and resume at about 10:15. Thank you. Well, that cup of coffee was very welcome. So we'll move on to 26.14.1 with the Works and Infrastructure Report. And good morning, David. Would you like to give us a run-through on your report, please?
Good morning. I'd like just to jump, if I may, to the Capital Works Program. Two items, Bridge 185 at Gillies Road. That's currently a carried forward project. We didn't receive the detailed design for that bridge until middle of June. We're now subsequently securing the components, which will take about 4 months to get here, and so we'd be looking at finishing that work around October, November. And closer to the date, we'll be writing to all the affected landowners, advising them of what's happening with that. There will be a bypass provided for that bridge, so it's an easy one to do. The Tully Street stormwater design, that project is almost completed. We do, out of that suite of work, have the design for Annie Street, which has been funded by the council for this year. And what it requires in Annie Street is an additional stormwater placed in the northern side of the roadway to cater for the extra overland flow and the undersizing of the stormwater system that services Stewart Court. And that will eliminate, by a very substantial degree, the localised flooding that impacts on three or four residents in that area.
Thank you very much, David. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Carter. Any comments or questions to the works manager, please? Councillor Johnston.
Weed management. Thank you for informing us what they are. Multiple weed varieties. You probably don't know them off the top of your head, but it feels like we're managing many, 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 many weeds.
I asked Kaylin about that, and she said there's several species that are coexisting and problematic at the moment, and they're addressing them as they come up.
Yeah. And also, it seems that Spanish Heath, it's just an observation of mine, is completely out of control everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere, and I don't know. I'm not sure how we actually do that management because, you know, they're tiny little things everywhere, as well as old growth Spanish Heath, but it seems to be a major issue.
Spanish Heath, there is a persistent
weed.
It's a persistent problem, it's a persistent weed, and we manage it by either cutting it out if we see it or predominantly spraying it.
The problem is, Councillor Johnson, on that one, most of it's on private landowners or on state government road verges.
Yep. I understand. It's just, it is becoming a, like, I think we do have old growth problems with it now, you know.
Councillor Arnold.
Following on from Councillor Johnson regarding the Spanish Heath, I notice between St Helens and the extreme of the Break of Day, the Main Roads Department, State Growth, they have a contractor that regularly addresses it, but ironically, it can be over the fence and there could be a couple of acres of it, but they're paying particular attention to it along the sides of the road, and then when you get to our municipal boundary, away it goes again.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. There's a really problem weed.
It's a nasty thing. But having said that, it seems to just grow in the poorer types of soils.
Any further questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.14.2 is the Animal Control Report. David, have you got any To report on this one, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's just that this year with dog registrations, we hit a overall, albeit some of them were late and some were forced by virtual infringement notices, we achieved a 98.6% compliance rate, up from 96 last year.
Thanks very much for that, David. Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Alden. Any questions on the animal control report?
Can I just ask, it seems to me there's an extraordinary amount of energy and time consumed with council officers and others to respond to the dog breeding situation in our community. And I'm wondering if there's anything that we can do to make life easier, not only for our officers, but for the public concern that's around this. Is there anything that can be done in the short term?
Councillor Carter, that is an incredibly good question. I've replied to so many emails. They're all the same content. We're very much aware of it. And there was a good article in the Mercury about it. Our response, it wasn't picked up, I don't think, in the Examiner. I haven't seen it as yet. But there's an awful lot of work gone into it. And what I'll do, because I know what's going on, but I'm going to ask our General Manager if he would like to respond, because this is very resourceful energy from staff trying to respond to something.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So despite statements by numerous individuals that council don't care, they're not doing anything, that they should do something, etc., please be assured that we've done everything we can within the confines of the Dog Control Act. And there's been an extraordinary amount of staff resources, legal expenses, etc., in this as well, and that we are doing everything we possibly can to get this resolved as well, and certainly working closely with the RSPCA. But people can make statements, but unfortunately we can't tell them exactly what we're doing because of Privacy Act, etc., but obviously we'll be looking closely at the Dog Control Act and whether there's any additional powers which we think should be in there to make it easier in those situations so that we can advocate for change to legislation, because it's just not acceptable. And unfortunately, when people don't do what's required, then it makes it even more difficult for us to deal with.
I applaud the amount of effort that's had to have gone into to get to this stage, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Councillor Carter, for your question, because we are totally opposed to what's going on, but we're doing everything within the law. And what I've been going through the back of my mind, this is an issue that's not going to go away, and I would think that our council should potentially take a motion to ELGAT to advocate on behalf of change of the Local Government Act on the dog control. It's absolutely, in one aspect, a toothless tiger when you get an issue that you can't deal with because the legislation is inadequate. Would you support that would be a way forward?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, certainly change to the Dog Control Act is, if there's potential changes there that our solicitors recommend, then we'll be pursuing those changes there as well. But, yeah, unfortunately, we've got to play within the rules. We can't act outside the law, or else we'll be the ones that will be in front of the courts being charged with acting ultra vires. So we'll keep pursuing it, and yeah.
Thank you. Any further questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.14.3 is a review of the Memorial Gardens policy. David, would you like to speak to this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Councillors. We reviewed the policy. It's come through a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and the recommendation is the policy AM30 Memorial Gardens be accepted without amendment.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move that? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions on that? I'll take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.14.5 is St Mary's Parking Strategy, 2026 to 2031. David, would you like to talk to this recommendation of yours, please?
Mr. Nature Strip Planning Policy.
I thought we just did that.
Sorry. No, we did the other one.
Sorry, I went straight past it. 26.14.4. Nature strip planning policy.
David. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Policy has been reviewed again. It's come to workshop a few weeks back. And the recommendation is policy AM19, nature strip planting, be accepted without amendment.
Have somebody move the recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions on that one? Councillor Johnston?
Just how often do we do this?
Over every 3 years, is it, David?
3 years, unless...
Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Now we'll move to 26.14.5, St Mary's Park Strategy, Parking Strategy 26 to 31. David?
This strategy is a 5-year parking strategy for St Mary's from 2026 through to 2031. What it sets out is a framework for managing parking in the town centre. It's got an emphasis on optimising existing infrastructure and reviewing that prior to looking at alternatives for new off-street parking. New off-street parking is expensive to develop, and so we should, in this policy, have a look at what we've got first to see if there's any defects, make some improvements, do some optimisation prior to So this policy has set out that framework. There's a number of actions and recommendations within the policy to proceed with, and it's presented for your endorsement.
Thank you very much for that, David. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Whittaker. Any questions or commentary on this? Councillor Carter.
It seems to me to be an excellent product. It was interesting reading through it in terms of accessible, walkable, whatever. I've lost my spot. Accessible parking, etc. Reminded me that there's a lady who constantly reminds me in access and inclusion meetings about a disability park at the op shop in St Mary's, and I noticed in this document there's an intention to audit accessible parking situation in St Mary's. So I'm just wondering if we can note that one particular issue, and certainly I'd welcome the audit in terms of access and inclusion perspective. But otherwise, a great document.
So in relation to the parking, we did receive a request. It sort of coincided with this, but not quite. And there are, in the community hall area, there are already 2 disabled parking bays, but one at the top is going to be painted. The contractor, the line marking contractor, has been engaged to do that. We're just waiting for that contractor to turn up. There'll be some additional line marking in the top part of the car park, but which falls within the framework of this strategy. So it's planned, it's not ad hoc.
It's all part of it.
No, we do it once and do it well.
Councillor Johnston.
I just reiterate what Councillor Carter has said, and also just thank you for this. I mean, I haven't been around. I've missed because of illness of mum and etc. But it's a great document. I just wanted to know how the community, they seem to, in St Mary's, there is a desire to be able to move from one part of the shopping area to another to get a car park. I just wondered how the community's response to any conversations you've had around this.
I've had no response to this draft. It's been advertised for coming to council this week. Year before last, we spent a lot of time talking to the business owners, and we got a fairly detailed rundown as to what is occurring, and what is perception, and what is not occurring.
Yep. Okay.
Business owners who have an access through Salters Lane have certainly got some opportunity to deal with staff parking, which takes pressure off the main street, but that's up to the individual business owner to do that. There's still a connectivity between the northern side of the street and the shopping side of the street that still needs some resolution, and it's one of the actions that's embodied in this strategy to try and pursue that. Over time, we've had mixed success dealing with Department of State growth. Maybe next time round it'll be a bit easier. But that is certainly one part of it. And the additional part is the movement across the junction with Storey Street between the pub and the bridge,
yes,
and the perception that it's an unsafe crossing existing now. So a bit of work to do in that space.
But thank you for the strategy. It's good.
Further questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.14.6 is the pollarding of the elm trees on the northern side of Tully Street. David.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and councillors. We engaged an arborist to look at these trees. The arborist has provided the attached report. Fundamentally, they're saying that the pollarding of the trees that happened on the southern side of the road were in fact more akin to lopping than pollarding, and they're making a recommendation not to do anything with the trees on the northern side of the road. Historically, those trees on the northern side have also been lopped and not pollarded, and if we go in there and do anything with those trees, we risk the structural integrity of those trees. So their recommendation is to leave the trees alone and in that there's some secondary recommendations which talk about minor pruning, but not to do what we did on the southern side of the...
Thank you, David. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Johnston. Any comments, questions? Councillor Carter?
I applaud the... I think the report's done the right thing in terms of rectifying some of the issues from the past. I just wonder what would happen in the future in terms of our recommendations, but then the fact that TAS networks or others may intervene and perhaps create some inappropriate pruning into the future.
With TAS networks, trees on the southern side, 2 years ago they came in and they started lopping those trees, and they did substantial damage at the eastern end of Tully Street. And in fact, there's maybe two trees now that are at risk of failing that we'll need to replace. We have an existing arrangement now with TAS Networks where we have the trees trimmed with our arborist and not use the TAS Networks contractor. And so every year we have to do that within a specified period, which is nominated by TAS Networks, and so we engage our arborist. Otherwise, the default position is they'll cut those trees vertically and horizontally to keep them away from the power lines. So the southern side of the road, we have to maintain those trees currently in that shape and that form, and that's all we can do.
Thanks, David. Councillor Johnson?
A question around technical terms. Pollarded, so those other trees weren't pollarded. They were actually...
In the view of this arborist, they were locked.
Locked.
Pollarded. When we pollarded the trees on the southern side, the arborist we engaged then to do the work... So it's a subtle difference about where the cut occurs.
Oh, is it in where the cut occurs?
Mm.
Okay, that was just because now we're saying we're not going to pollard or lop, we're going to prune.
Okay, there's dead wood.
Yep.
Just keep them maintained as a healthy tree.
Yep.
Part of the recommendation here is also the inference around replacing some of the trees that are missing. There is a source in Tasmania at Green Hills Nursery in the southern part of the state, and they do stock elm trees. Mm-hmm. but we want to think about the variety that we put into the ground, given the issue with root propagation and previous claims of damage by property owners.
Thank you. Right, did you have your hand up at all? Okay. Councillor Carter?
Thank you. There's a very thorough summary, I guess, of the secondary recommendations that were made. I see lots of merit in most of that stuff. I'm just wondering how much of that will be something that's actively pursued by council?
The intent is to bring this to you today for endorsement, and endorsement is to accept these actions, including the secondary recommendations. So this becomes our plan going forward if council endorses this today.
Thank you. If we have no further questions, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.15.1 is the Community Services Report. David, would you like to speak to that?
No.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Jen, so would you like to present the Community Services Report for us, please?
Nothing much further to add, apart from that we've successfully received another year's worth of funding for the Learner Driver Mentor Program. And we also have a new mentor starting this week as well. So that will be helpful for getting our on-road hours up. Apart from that, nothing else to add.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the report to be received? Councillor Wright, Secretary Councillor Whittaker. Any questions on this? Councillor Carter. Oh,
it's not a question, it's a comment. I just think it's great that Renee's hit the ground running. She's certainly been front and centre in a number of public events, and it's great to see her out and about.
Thank you. Well, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.15.2 is the Visitor Information Centre Report. Would you like to speak to that one, please, Jen?
Nothing further to add to this report.
Nothing further to add. I can have somebody move the report be received. Councillor Carter, Secretary Councillor Oldham. Any questions on the report? Report's very well done. Thank you, Jen. I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Development Services Report, 26.16.1.
You missed one.
Just another
15.3.
One.
Oh, we'll sponsorship up on the screen.
We'll go to 15.3. Why not? Sponsorship request for Mood Vision, the Mental Health Comedy Roadshow. Sorry, Jen, I didn't skip straight past that one, mate.
So we've received this request. Council supported the same event back in 2021 in conjunction with the St Helens Neighbourhood House. So there was approximately about 100 people that attended, so the event was very well received. So I recommend that we support this event by waiving the higher fees for the Portland Hall and giving a sponsorship of a $1,000 payment.
Thank you, Jen. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions on this one?
They're a great initiative, so money well spent.
Take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. I'll go to the right one this time without skipping pages. Development Services Report, 26.16.1. Who will be presenting this one?
I'm presenting this one, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, John.
So thank you for that. I'll just get to where I need to be in my agenda here. So
it's not the only one who skips a page, am I?
No. I just had to get to the next item, so I skipped in. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jason Lou this week. So I just want to touch on a few items within there. So you'll note within the key department strategic and operational matters that we have the Scamander Borough Structure Plan and the Industrial Land Use Strategy. They'll be coming through to the August Council meeting for the final stage. Final those two, so that would be great to get those completed. The high-level statistics in there for Council's information. It's in relation to the planning approvals. We saw an increase of 26% over prior year, in the last years, and in building approvals 23%. So
talked earlier around the increased fees that came through, or part of it is in part due to activity levels there as well. So a bit higher than previous year, which it's interesting when you look at the trend. Like, we've had some fairly substantial years in the past as well, even higher than this one as well. So they're there as well. I'll leave the Memorial Park toilet upgrade for the next one there as well. There's obviously been some information there around the capital works projects which are being completed. Quite ongoing as well, Mr. Mayor. But on the whole, quite a busy year in development services, and move into next year.
Can I have somebody move the report to receive, Councillor Whittaker, and seconded Councillor Johnston? Any questions on that development services report?
Not a question, but it's really interesting. You know, it's great to see some photos of some of the completed works that we've discussed and worked through together as, you know, a committee. And great work.
Take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.16.2 is the Memorial Park amenities upgrade.
Sorry, Mayor, I thought that was going to happen. The environmental report, is that going to be commented on? Sorry, I held off a question because I thought it was going to come up.
Okay.
So are we still on development services and therefore going to the environmental report?
Yeah, yep, it's all part of it.
Sorry.
Have you got a question?
So we've got to go back to the where we were a moment ago so that Polly can report, and then I have a question.
So Polly's here to do the NRM committee, but certainly if there's environmental report question, Mr. Mayor.
The environmental report's in the building.
It's part of the development
services. It's part of it, yeah.
Part of development services, yeah.
Have you got a question too,
though? I have, but I'll wait for the report.
No, it's now.
I thought Polly was sitting here to make comment. I apologise.
NRM committee meeting.
Okay. So can I ask a question in terms of the environmental report? I did attend that Georges Bay sea level rise thing, and I was just wondering if you could make some comment about the projections going into the future, Polly. I can see it on the map here. I was just wondering if you could elaborate.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, councillors. I think the projections are, as from my recollection, fairly close to what have been done before, really. So it's just restating it, but it does give an indication nearly a metre of sea level rise in the long term starts to change the complexion of the shorelines of Georges Bay and inundates those low-lying areas. And the information session was just to bring that to the attention of people and to start thinking about it. And, of course, the state government's doing a lot of things at the moment to start preparing for that. The Natural Hazards Atlas, for example, is one of those new resources that will be available for people to burrow into those questions a bit more deeply in their own context. Say for the aquaculture industry and that sort of thing, there'll be some things to think about. Again, it's happening decadal, it's long term, but the message is need to think about it.
So was it true, something in excess of a metre over that next 70-year period, is that correct?
7 year period? 70 year period, I think, with storm surge on top and floods on top. That's the bay's problem, is that we'll get a storm event that creates a lot of rainfall in the catchment that brings flood water into the bay at the same time.
Water can't get out of the bay. That's the problem, probably. Anybody who knows anything about the Barway knows when we get a big southeast or northeast, we get a big sea on the bar, and it actually stops the run out from the bay and it blocks up.
That's right. So that's where we get
That's what creates the actual extra high tides, is that fresh water can't get out of the bay because the sea's holding it in.
Yep. You get that storm surge against the flood as well. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.16.2 is the Memorial Park amenities upgrade. John, would you like to speak to this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As councillors are aware, we have been working through the replacement for the Memorial Park amenities, and the process actually involves an extremely substantial upgrade of the existing facility, so effectively repurposing a lot of the site and giving it the necessary upgrade rather than the complete demolition and a whole new facility. That was a recommendation for the architect. That's what the plans are there for. So we've looked at it, we've undertaken community engagement with the RSL as the primary user, but obviously had some comms as well with adjoining businesses in relation to sort of what's planned there as well. Now, obviously when we take the out of action, it's going to create a bit of angst within the community for people wanting to use them. So even though we've got toilets up at the library, just there, and also on the foreshore, we're going to trial using the ones in the hall. Now, we are slightly nervous with the use of those ones because of sort of people having access. And this will just be during the week when the limited hours during the week we'll have them operational. If we find that we're having issues, then we'll have no alternative but to not allow that to happen. So, but we'll trial it, give it a go. Hopefully people will do the right thing and respect that. But if not, then we're going to have to default back to using the other ones, which are 100 metres away as well. So,
can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions on that one, Councillor Carter?
You made reference to community engagement, and I guess I'm concerned that there was a representation from a local coffee shop in close vicinity to that, where the matter was raised in terms of how the public is accessing the toilets from that area by climbing over the fence. I'm just wondering, I believe it would be wise for us to strongly consider access into that plan that you've got indicated in this document today. And I don't think the problem's going to go away unless we create an access on the southern side into that toilet area.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're treating that as a separate issue here.
Okay.
It's not going to affect the use of those toilets or...
or the building.
The building. Like, the building's going to be the way it is oriented, etc. There's nothing changed there. There's obviously, that is a very busy area there as well, and it's already quite crowded with how it operates. So we need to, it's a lot bigger task to do this and just respond to the request from the coffee shop owner to put a pathway in or an entrance through that fence. There's some level issues there as well. But also once they get in there, then there'll effectively have to be a path built to get them to the toilets, assuming that's where they end up getting to as well. So, and that means we need to be talking to the RSL, but looking at that whole park piece. So we're treating this separately to the toilet business. So, yeah.
Councillor Wright.
I was just thinking one of the biggest impacts with doing this will be during the Saturday market.
And the hall is open at that point in time anyhow.
It is, yes.
So,
but you have limited toilets and, you know, a couple hundred people. But,
yeah, we can't do anything about
can't
it.
Do
and
much about
there
it.
Are toilets in the vicinity, so we've got to do it. We've picked the time of the year where it's going to be the least disruptive and get
would
it done as quickly as possible.
Would it be maybe an idea to ask the markets to relocate up to the library car park for that period so they've got access to the toilets up there? Or
but if it's raining.
It's the problematic is around weather and that, and obviously the fact as they get busy, they probably want to use both sites, but we just need to get it done as quickly as we can. There's no alternative.
I was going to ask the same thing and wondered how the stall holders, if we've had any interaction with those, especially on the outside. Well, no, actually on the inside as well, because if the toilets are going to be used more, but that's the obvious time.
Might be a reason to go inside.
Okay. But anyway, that's obvious.
Might be advantageous to
those. It's as if we can go to a greenfield site and create a new toilet and not get the old one.
Yeah.
There's no choice.
No option of putting temporary toilets there?
We've considered it, but they become problematic. You need quite a few there, then it's a cleaning, and they're not the nicest of things. Where there's other toilets within proximity there as well.
So. Look, I think it's obvious council will make sure the toilets at the library and at the memorial, at the wharf,
sure,
they'll be well serviced to make sure that they're as clean and as usable for the whole period for the extra use that they may get, but we've got to build toilets and we can't just not build them. Otherwise, nothing ever changes. So a little bit of inconvenience for a really big gain and benefit at the end. Yep. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.16.3 is the NRM meeting poly that once again never had a quorum.
Thank you, Mayor.
Would you like to walk us through this one?
And through you, yes. As reported, with the record of proceedings ahead of them being confirmed by the committee, the last meeting was held with short of a quorum. Just like to acknowledge, I think there were members with good reasons to not be there. And it has been an ongoing challenge, which I've noted in the report, for the committee for a period of time now, which has highlighted for me, you know, questions again about where the committee goes in the future, and that with the council elections coming up, that council should probably have a look at the charter for the NRM committee ahead of the council election, so that the new council elected councillors have a charter that's fit for purpose with a reduced number of elected members, but take the opportunity to really, really have a closer look at it. And we'll take those questions to the committee at its meeting coming up early next month as well. So, and ahead
of
council,
next month, Polly?
And ahead of council's workshop, so we can come back to council with some committee feedback on you know, that sort of questioning as well.
Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation, Councillor Johnston and seconded Councillor Oldham? Any questions on this? It is what it is. Just a copy of the minutes of a meeting without a quorum.
Yeah, but through you, Mayor, I've included the copy of the charter in the report as well. Encourage councillors to have a bit of a look and think, blue sky even, on what we could do.
Yep. Thank you very much, Polly, for your effort. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.17.1 is the General Manager's report. And, John, you've been very busy, so would you like to...
Polly? Thanks, Mr. Mayor. My report. All right. Just touch on a few things. So the Premier's Northern Economic Summit last Wednesday, attended that. It's a workshop forum, and they were seeking ideas and opportunities. The usual focus, so when they're asking questions on the table and asking people to do this, the usual focus was there on faults with the approval system and how we need to streamline things for housing and how red tape is a problem and so is local government. So it was slightly sense of deja vu with some of this, but there were some interesting conversations there as well, but we'll wait and see what happens. Because they had no report back, but I can only talk about what happened on the table I sat on there as well. Just a few other things, and obviously the Lions and Bass electorate change, Mr. Mayor. We, as councillors would recall, go back a few months ago, we were talking about sort of looking at the proposal from the Australian Electoral Commission that... Glenorchy would come into Lyons and we'd now be connected to Glenorchy, and that South West councils were dropping out, so Sorell or Tasman were heading into a different electorate, etc. And we raised our concerns with that lack of community of interest and a range of other things, and highlighted our connection to Northern Tasmania as well, and... the fact that, well, maybe they should consider that we look at connection to Bass as well. But it was a numbers game, but they obviously went through the numbers game and are actually able to find a solution, which results in Breaker Day becoming part of Bass, assuming it gets passed at the federal parliament level as well.
On that part, though, John, I think it's quite relevant for people to think back in the past. We used to be a member of Bass. Yeah. We used to be a part of Bass. So people forget we was a part of Bass, and then with the redistribution we've become Lions. So we're actually going back to our, where we used to be, and that's our natural connection, the way we shop. Most people will go to Launceston. The children will go to schools in Launceston. We play sport against the North, Launceston, etc. It's just a natural hand-in-glove outcome. And we've now got to make our networks through the different politicians when it becomes formalised and work our way, and I think we're a lot better off for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, for that. So when we say we used to be part of Bass, was that when it was Portland and surprised. But I think yes, it's about numbers, but I would hope that they also saw the community of interest. That for me is very quite strong with Launceston compared to Glenorchy, for example. And we have a lot of people moving between there, so it's not just shopping and schooling, but people move and live and all of that as well. So I feel like it makes very much good sense. And maybe I didn't realise how much sense it made to be part of it and part of the northern section of the state. So not just Launceston, but our northern neighbours here.
If you think one step further, not taking over from the general manager, but if you think one step further, we're a member of NTDC.
Exactly.
We're a member of the Northern Waste Management.
Yep.
NTARC.
Yep.
It's just a natural hand-in-glove, a perfect fit.
Yep.
And I think our community... Naturally, there'll be a bit of apprehension. Some people will think, oh, why did we do this? But if you even think politically, where will most of the candidates come from? They'll come from Glenorchy. Where will most of them do most of their campaigning with political dollars will be where all the votes are. So we're a part of the North, and we're intertwined with NTDC, with Northern Waste. We're already there.
Yeah.
So... I think
very logical when it was first raised, but absolutely, yeah, well done.
Yeah. So yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, look, we've been really well represented by our federal member Rebecca White and our local Lions members as well over many years. There's a lot of longer term ones there, and obviously Jen Butler as a local St Helens lady. Obviously, Jen will probably be a bit sort of sad about the situation, but as noted, it is that connection to North. So we will start working with our Northern representatives now, and obviously, yeah, as mentioned previously, I've sort of already had a quick chat to Jess Tuesdale around the future and look forward to working with her locally to get to know a bit about Breaker Day. So she's very excited by it as well. So, and other things, Mr. Mayor, obviously I've noted in there the visit to Tebrakana, up to the new ranger station up there. Look, that was a really great visit and good chance to catch up with Nick Cameron at the time, talk about a number of projects as I've outlined in there as well. And I did have a brief discussion with him about where we got to with our Reconciliation Action Plan and where we went to with our local action plan and why we had to go in that direction. And, he's happy to work with us moving forward in connecting with our Aboriginal community as well. So it was, a really good visit up there. And obviously, if councillors ever get the chance to visit up there, it's well worth taking that chance.
Everybody should take a trip with you in your car, John. You found every tree that doesn't have a compressor hose to keep your tyres pumped up.
Yeah, that's
from
okay,
what I believe.
That's okay, Mr. Mayor. I did happen to get a slightly deflating tyre, but that was okay. We dealt with that. They had a compressor and fixed that, Mr. Mayor. But anyway, these things happen on gravel roads with potholes. You know.
Just a quick question. John, on that, through you, Mayor, that I feel quite optimistic then that it was Nick that said that he would be happy to work with us at that local level about building reconciliation and moving forward hand in hand.
Yeah. So through you, Mr. Mayor, we do have a great working relationship with Aunty Patsy as well. As well, yeah. So it was just a good meeting, really positive. So in relation to the Tazewater corporate plan, obviously I've put there where Tazewater decided that they were just going to have a reduction in dividends at the very last minute after all of the councils had pretty much passed their budget, and in their comms they never bothered to really disclose their intention to do this, and also in previous there. So it was clearly communicated to Tazewater that the member councils weren't happy with the way that unfolded the comms around this. So there have been, those failings have been acknowledged and they've improved in this area. Ultimately, there will be a reduction in our dividend in the year ahead, not quite as much as originally forecast, but we'll just wait and see how this pans out moving forward. But a lot of this is due in part to them having to reshape their capital works program and budgets around the pricing and services plan 5, which economic regulator did not provide the increase that they requested. Interesting to note that as a result of that, when you look at the increases in other states, Tasmania is substantially lower than any other state in terms of the increase in water and sewage charges moving forward. And ultimately, that affects the Tazewater's capacity to actually undertake the necessary upgrading works on water and sewage infrastructure. Money's got to come from somewhere. So, anyway. That was the other piece, Mr. Mayor, so...
Can I have somebody move that the General Manager's report be received? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Wright. Any questions to the General Manager? Councillor Carter?
Thank you. I'm wondering if you can elaborate on the St Luke's Health meeting. I find that rather exciting that there's a potential of a wellness hub would be good. So how was Breaker Day perceived within that intention?
Yeah, no, certainly. Thank you, Councillor Carter. Obviously, they've got their nice centre in Launceston. They're looking at the building one in Devonport as well, quite a substantial part within that new sports precinct there. They're looking at opportunities down here, given their membership profile and the nature of our community, to potentially have something happen down here. We're not talking a nice new flash building or anything like that, but who they can work with. So it's very much early days, who they can work with, where they can potentially be delivering some of their wellness services as well, either remotely or in person. So it very much reflects the St Luke's focus on making Tasmania the world's healthiest island. I think they refer to it in their marketing. But early days, and we'll just see how that does eventuate, then we'll be able to come back to council further.
One last question, just in regards to Nick Cameron. The other aspect of what you were reporting on seemed to be around the fact that they have some sort of responsibility down to Brishino in terms of helping with maintenance and environmental stuff. Is that a...
Yeah, the Tabracana Ranger program actually stretches along the coast as far as Swansea as well. They haven't done a lot of work down this way, and there is the other Indigenous Ranger program down this way as well. So I'm not quite sure what it looks like moving forward, but certainly in terms of their training, if they've got a Ranger program happening down this way, then where would they do the training? Because up at Cape Portland, they've actually got, in their building, they've actually got a training room. So I just sort of made him aware of the study hub and the fact that there's a training facility there with everything there, and Nick had previously worked with TASTAFE as well, so he was pleased to know about that piece there. So it's sort of a bit of information sharing that space.
Thank you.
Any further questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Lisa, it's time for you to have your lunch. So 26.17.2 is the Helen's Online Access Centre funding. John, would you like to go on to this one for us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So at the May 26th Council meeting, there's a notice of motion from Councillor Wright regarding Online Access Centre funding. So the motion sought the Council urgently commit to take on the funding of the Online Access Centre, noting that lots of state government funding would no longer have access to previous premises as a result of changes. At the June 26th Council meeting, we had a note of motion from Councillor Carter requesting that Council approach the state government requesting a reconsideration to restore direct funding for the St Helens Access Centre, etc. So we sent a letter to the Minister, and a response was received dated 3rd of July, and that's included with this report there as well. So what council officers have endeavoured to do is to work through what the services are which are being delivered by State Library, services being delivered by Online Access Centre, to compare and contrast. So just to see where there might be difference, etc., or where the overlap was with it there as well. So through all of that, there is quite a significant crossover between the two, but then there are probably the key point of difference around the Online Access Centre is that they do provide some additional services, and they are a bit more hands-on in assistance in some of the cases as well. And I think that is the key point that they've raised through different conversations and points they want to say that, well, this library only goes, oh, we do this. Now, that has raised a few concerns in our mind that when you start dealing with private information and that, so we don't have visibility of their policies and procedures in this respect, and it's a matter for them as their own legal entity to make sure they've got the appropriate processes in place to protect themselves there as well.
We'll just wait for John to finish, Councillor Wright.
So through that, so in terms of that, like, Mr. Mayor, it's a really difficult one, this one too as well, because like this is around the duplication, but also, as has been raised previously by councillors too, is the pushing down of state government responsibilities, so to speak, or something they've done, leaving council to fill the void there as well. Just last council meeting, councillors looked at the situation with the Business Enterprise Centre and said, well, the state's delivering the service, and sort of said, well, we're not going to do that because that's a state government responsibility. So I've just got to be a little bit mindful where we head with this as well. As I said, Mr. Mayor, it's a really difficult one. In terms of what the recommendation that's been provided there, like, yep, receive the report, note the response from the Minister Palmer, and just monitor the effectiveness of the Libraries Tasmania Digital Inclusion Service in this, because if they're not meeting the needs of our community, well, then we need to advocate on behalf of our community to make sure they are being met. And obviously, based around previous conversations and that have been with council, and the situation was not to provide annual operational funding to the Online Access Centre. That's the critical critical part of the report, Mr. Mayor, the recommendations, obviously. It's quite an extensive report there, quite a bit of work done by council officers in this. Over the councillors, Mr. Mayor, I don't know what more I can say. It's been something that's been going on for 4 years now, this funding situation.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Carter. Seconded by Councillor Johnston. Open it up for discussion. Councillor Wright.
As I had mentioned earlier, I have received communication from Nicola Stevens regarding some communications that's been happening. She really wanted to stress, you know, the main thing with the operational thing is that the library, as far as digital access goes, is 4 hours a week, whereas the online centre is 4 hours a day. But she also was a little bit confused by Joe Palmer's sort of intimation or allusion to the library providing a lower level of service. And she said that's not what they were saying. They were saying they had a different level of service. And she's asked that maybe some of the councillors come in and sit with them for a few hours and just see firsthand what they do. And she says they think the library does an amazing job. The community thinks the online centre is amazing at what they do too. And they just do things differently, like, you know, apart from printing and scanning and that sort of thing, but they'll actually do it for you where the library, you do it yourself sort of thing. So there's that different kind of service. But it's not, they're not critical of the library, they're just, they do things differently. And they don't want to damage any relationships between them and the library. So, you know, anything that was construed as being a critical or criticism of the library is not what they wanted to basically put forward.
Anyone else like to comment? Councillor
Johnston. Thank you. I guess I don't have any problem with the fact that we're going to review this and keep oversight over a period of time, because I think what will emerge is there is one distinct area where libraries are not going to be able to provide the service that is so vital to the most vulnerable of our community. And I think the key to that is the reference to Guide by the Side, which is made in this document, because government agencies rightfully have a number of protocols around how they behave and what they do in certain environments. And I guess that's the key thing that I've been advocating for all the way along, because very quickly, a lady with her husband dying of cancer who lives at Goshen, no connectivity down there at all. She comes into that online access and on a very restricted amount of time, and those people help her hands-on, direct, face-to-face, because she doesn't have the capacity with a sick husband. Same thing with a lady at Anson's Bay who has a husband with dementia. When she comes in, she hasn't got time to go through the processes and protocols of being polite in the library. She needs to get to it. And my last one is a little old mate of mine who I used to teach with, who is visually impaired. He's in his 80s. He hasn't got the capacity to be guided by the side. He needs that additional level of help. So what I'm saying is this review that we're offering to sort of maintain oversight over this whole process over the next couple of years, I presume, is going to clearly show us there is a deficit in the library service in comparison. So I do welcome the fact that we're reviewing it.
Can you point just to where that is?
The reference to Guide by the Side is on page 449. It clearly outlines how the council how the library goes about providing its service.
When we talk about reviewing it,
I'm talking about this document is saying we're not going to hastily do this or that. We're going to look at what's going on here, which is totally correct.
Recommendation 3.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. That's my question. Have you finished? Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
That was my question. How do we? That is a good thing. Absolutely monitor the effectiveness of the library's digital service. That's quite an important point, obviously. It's the crux of it for me. How are we going to do that? Because it's nothing to say that we'll do it. How do we see that we're going to be able to do it? Besides, you know, when we hear from, you know, anecdotal information, and we're an ageing community, by the way, too, so there'll be more and more of those stories that we just heard. I'm just wondering, how do we do that with our staff? I mean, it's just, you know, what's the methodology to be able to monitor the effectiveness of Libraries Tasmania's digital inclusion, blah, blah, blah?
A lot of it is going to come through what we hear from within our community, just like what Councillor Carter's mentioned. So the feedback, I went to the library to do this, but they weren't able to assist me with that. So it's going to be a bit reactive, but we're going to have to just monitor that and capture that and raise those issues. So it's just interesting sort of listening to these examples.
saying, okay, how do we capture that? So that's something we'll have to work on, because if we say we're going to review it, then we've got to be genuine in our review process. So we haven't articulated the review process in here, but we need to have something in place, a way to capture these things, to raise them, and talk to State Library about deficiencies in their services, if that's the way it's going to go, because we need to advocate on behalf of our community, which is what we do, where there are issues with, we saw it with Parks and Wildlife today, with what's proposed or something not meeting our needs, just like with the Business Enterprise Centre. If it's not meeting needs, then we'll be raising those concerns with the State Agency, Department of State Growth there as well. But it is a difficult one. I've sort of, over the weekend, an email came in from Nicola around funding there as well. Now, there's some suggestions in there as well, so I'm not quite sure how Council want to handle that there as well, but, yeah, that's just my comments at this point in time, Mr. Mayor.
If I may, John, a couple of things too that's not here is the light. Where are they going? Where's their home? Now, Council has just spent $3,700 upgrading all the electrical so that they can operate where they are in the Portland Hall. It's very small. It might be fit for purpose. It's obviously operational. But if that's not going to be their home permanently, where is their home going to be? We don't know that. So you've got to have that in your back of your mind, because at the moment we've got a temporary, and I personally think that everybody, John especially, and Council has done a good job by being able to meet a short-term need and having a home to go. Is that going to be a permanent home? Because it's only a temporary. But we've already spent $3,700 of good money upgrading all the electrical, so all the computers, everything's running. So we're actively supporting the online access centre financially as well by doing all that work and cleaning it up and giving them a home. But where is the home going to be long term? It's probably not going to be there. But we voted last month on not to continue funding the BEC because of duplication. It's already being done by a different provider, more targeted. Do we start funding state government responsibility? And if we are, we should have kept on going and funding the BEC, because it's the same thing, duplication. So I'm in a bit of a quandary. We all know we're pulling at our heartstrings on online access centre, question mark is home, question mark duplication, question mark how to monitor the effectiveness, and how we can advocate on behalf of the online access centre or the libraries to upgrade what the deficit is missing and who should be doing it. I've just got there's a few questions I'm saying that haven't still not being answered.
I think they come out in the review. That's why I'm more than happy that it occurs, because these things will be discovered. I think there is some inconsistency in, and I was hoping Councillor Barnes was here today just to clarify this, but I believe there's also some inconsistencies in how those fundings were ever allocated. So I think all online access centres had to pay some notion of a coordinator to operate. So I guess in supporting this review, there are a number of things that need to be better understood, and we certainly need to identify the deficiencies or potentials of the library service to cater for what we need in our community. So I don't think we have to have the answers today. I think
There is questions.
We have to be really diligent in establishing exactly what's going on here and where are the problems.
But that leads to the next one, which is recommendation number 4, which is we don't provide funding on an annual operational funding.
You know, I don't see that as a problem, because we're undertaking a review. I mean, and in that process, we'll make some sort of decision in the next months, I would have thought.
I'm only looking at funding, how long they can last, Councillor Carter.
Yeah, through you, Ms. Mayor, I'm not sure that the we're monitoring how it's going. So whilst ever the online access centre is operating, you're not going to have a clear understanding of where the service gaps are, because people will be going to that online access centre there as well. So it's This is so if there's an online access centre, that is when you find out where the gaps are, because we're not going to get a good feel for what those gaps look like at the moment. And people like that, and with the library service and that, like, people will always go to where they're comfortable with to start with. So if someone's community member's been going to the online access centre for a period of time, they're comfortable going there and they know they're volunteers, etc., they'll keep going there. Have they given the library a chance to be able to support them to the level they need or not? That's an unknown question there as well. I think my concern in this too is around the paid coordinator position moving forward and that. And so Nicola's indicated they've got capacity to keep going for a while, but at the end of the day, when those funds run out, then obviously we're back to where we are now, etc. So effectively the funds they've got keep them going for a little while, but then back to where they are now with no funds, and as I've said in their email, that they really need that paid coordinator, because when you run with a volunteer model for that coordination, sort of things don't quite happen the way they need to, because of it's the nature of volunteers and it's communication. It's when you're a single person dealing with it, that means that it works there as well. So not quite sure with that one. I think the other piece too regarding location, the front of the hall is a great location for convenience and it's free for them. Prior to going there, they were looking at St Helens Neighbourhood House as a location. They'd had some initial conversations. I don't know what the future looks like there with them there. We can just leave that one. We'll just concentrate on the fact that we actually have got a home for the moment. But it's more around having a sustainable model moving forward if it's going to continue to exist there as well. Because even though they've got some funds there, like previously they were getting about $25,000 a year and they wanted more because that wasn't enough to do what they needed to do. So they hadn't had an increase for a while. But, yeah, it is a difficult one, Mr. Mayor. And it's like, yeah, you can see the benefits of those, sort of the intense support that they've provided in certain situations. And so what the ones Councillor Carter's mentioned, they need that intense personal support there as well.
Councillor Johnson.
I just want to go back to number three, because what we're doing there is we're not sort of monitoring or reviewing the work of the online centre. We're actually monitoring the effectiveness of Libraries Tasmania digital inclusion service in meeting community needs and advocate on behalf of the community when needs are not being met to the level required. It is a big statement, and that for me is the workable bit here. You know, this is where the work happens for me. So I just bring us back to that, because even the things, Mayor, that you're talking about, even where does it, the online centre, where is it housed? Well, that actually might be something that is, the library isn't meeting that need, so we do need to do all of that. But what we're doing there is we're putting something up there that we monitor the effectiveness of Libraries Tasmania digital inclusion service. So we actually have to have some system to do that. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's not a good thing. I think it's great. But it's how do we go about doing that? Because, you know, the library is a state government. You know, we have to have some relationship with them to agree to that sort of thing. That's all.
The report's here, it doesn't have all the detail around that, but if council's supportive of this, then the council officers will work to develop a system to do that, to monitor that. So haven't put all the solutions there, but we're saying, look, if there is an issue, or if we go down this track, then we're not just going to walk away from this and say, oh, well, that's the end of it. We actually want to make sure they're delivering what they said they'd deliver and meeting the needs of our community there as well.
Okay, well, if we've discussed this, I'm going to take to the vote. All in favour?
So can I just be clear about what we're actually in favour of now?
So the recommendation. 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thanks, Ian.
Out there. It's been a while.
It's cold out there. It keeps you awake.
You didn't catch your lunchtime
congestion. Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Whittaker, for your declaration.
Mr. Mayor, the item that we deferred earlier, we'll need to come back to that one now.
Oh, are you right, Alex, to come forward?
Yeah, so you'll need to go back into Planning Authority. So if we can just circle
back to
8.0, please.
Yep, if people can just bear with me for a second. Pursuant to Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, the Mayor is to inform the Council it's now acting as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Oldham. Take it to the vote. All in favour, we are now acting as a planning authority. So on 26.8.1, Alex, if you have some further information for us.
Certainly. So just an update on this application. I did have a discussion with the applicant and the property owner over the front counter, and through subsequent discussions by phone. While they've expressed their frustration with the outcome of the meeting, they are agreeable to an extension of time until the 24th of August. So a week after the council meeting, and I do have it in writing that the extension has been agreed to. I suppose next steps will be presenting this at the August council meeting.
Mr. Mayor. Also, obviously, with the concerns which have been raised by councillors as well, just be to review the report and probably look sort of a little bit at that flooding piece in a bit more detail. If not, it's been assessed there. We'll just review the comments which have been raised by councillors and to see whether there's any refinement in the report and in the conditions there to address some of those concerns which have been raised.
Thank you for that, Alex.
So if
can
we have,
do we need to move to acknowledge that?
Procedural motion to defer this item to the next council.
We have a procedural motion moved by Councillor Carter. Seconded Councillor Oldham. We take that to the vote. All in favour? Thank you. So that will now be presented at the next council meeting in August. Thank you very much for that, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, appreciate that, Alex.
So
now we've got to move out.
I know that preamble off by heart by now for the going to the Planning Authority. I thought you would have known your preamble off by heart by now.
Oh, pretty damn well, but if I don't do it right, I'll end up getting in trouble.
He didn't have his cornflakes.
Exactly. Got to do it right.
Well, seeing he's been rattled by missing items this morning, so obviously
he could have that one.
I wasn't prepared for the outcome. Let's put it that way. So I've just got to get out of planning.
It's about 466
page number.
All right.
The Mayor's to advise the Council has now concluded its meeting as a planning authority under Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2025. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Oldham, all in favour. Council, we are now out of planning and we will go into closed council if you'd like to get that ready for us.
Just have to disappear.